All right, go to your back of your Bibles to Revelation 15, please. In Revelation chapter 15, last time we were together, we just enjoyed the song of the Lamb. A very interesting interlude in the midst of catastrophic judgments. Chapter 15 begins with, "And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God." So dear ones, as a church, we are a group of people that love God and have professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are people of the Word, and God has given us this revelation. And here in this revelation, John sees this great and marvelous sign in the heaven, this vision that appears before him, and it has an impact. It is great, and it is marvelous, and it's comprised of seven angels that have seven last plagues. Terminology is interesting here because it says last plagues. You've been riding along with us in the adventure of Revelation. There's been a lot of judgments and catastrophes upon the earth. A lot of things that you could call plagues. But these are the last ones. It's the final or the end in a series. It's the extreme end. From these verses, we can understand and just enjoy the truth that God's plan will come to a fruition, to completion. The very fact that God says these are the last plagues is encouraging in and of itself, isn't it? It's encouraging for those who know God and know that He preserves His people from the wrath to come. The last plagues. But plagues is a terrible thing. Even in our day and age, anytime you hear about a plague, it is a sad thing. Pictures on the news and everything show us what plagues do, don't they? How it might ravage a land if it's the plagues of locusts. There's plagues that cause people to starve, and we've all seen those images of starving children. This plague speaks of a public calamity, a public affliction. A plague is something that is touching more than just one person, but is touching vast amounts of people. And the description for us is there are seven of them, and there are seven angels that carry each one of them a plague. But what we see in this verse is that in them, in these seven last plagues, is filled up fully the wrath of God. Anytime we talk about plagues in the Bible, where does your mind go to? Egypt, right? And I appreciate the Bible, and often it will carry themes throughout the Bible and remind us of things that have taken place. I mean, last week we looked back at the crossing of the Red Sea. I mean, who would have thought in Revelation we'd go back to the crossing of the Red Sea? But you saw it, right? It was very interesting, the Song of Moses. And here we have the seven last plagues. It's not the 10 plagues, it's the seven. But these are the seven last plagues. Plagues is a term that it's something that God has used as a form of judgment upon those who have afflicted His people. When we see that from what takes place in Egypt. Just flip over one page to Revelation chapter 16 and verse 9 on this subject of plagues. And we'll get to this. "The men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. And they repented not to give Him glory." Where are these plagues coming from? There is a completion of God's plan, but there is a central source. You know, when you think back of what we've studied in the book of Revelation, we saw a scroll with seven seals. That scroll was in the hand of God. We saw angels with the seven trumpets, and those angels stood before God. The seven thunders are proclaimed in Revelation chapter 10, and they're proclaimed by a mighty angel come from heaven. And here we have the angels with the seven vials of plagues come from the very temple of heaven. All of these things find their central source and their origin in the Almighty God. It is God who has power, as we just read, over these plagues. You see, this is not a time when the world just unravels and God is up there pulling his hair out saying, "Oh no! What am I going to do?" But rather, God is the one who has power over these things. Indeed, they are conceived in the mind of God. And he has gone to such great lengths to place them in his word. And so therefore we understand these things will come to be. Yes, there is a completion. There is a central source. In these plagues is filled up the wrath of God. We've talked about the wrath of God in several of our last messages. And so we should not be shocked by this term that our God is wrath. But notice what this says is filled up the wrath of God. So in other words, if you want to look at it this way, the wrath of God is such that he's patient and he is merciful in withholding his wrath for a time. It's not that it's like God is just overlooking sin right now and saying, "Oh, well, we'll just let them go." No, he still has a very hatred for sin. But there is coming a time when there's a breaking point, when God's wrath is to the full and it will be unleashed. You see, our God right now is patient, the scripture describes him. He's merciful. That's our God. But that will come to an end. On this verb, this filled up means to be fully accomplished or brought to its culmination. Or another way you could look at it is that God's wrath will be fully engaged. Fully engaged. On this subject, look at chapter 15, verse 8. We read, "The temple was filled with the smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled." That same concept, till they were fully accomplished. Revelation chapter 10 and verse 7 says, "But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets." We've talked about this before. God's plan coming to completion. So now, in Revelation chapter 15, we looked at verses 2 through 4 last time, and it's very interesting where they fall. And in the book of Revelation, we see this over and again. We see judgments, and then we see a respite for the reader. Because God understands that as we read through some of these catastrophic happenings, they are hard to bear. And chapter 16 unfolds for us these seven last plagues. And so you can only imagine the weight that reading this is going to have. So before we get into that, we looked at the subject last week of the Song of Moses and that vast sea and the people singing, having harps. You see, God is a God of who celebrates life, and he is a God who gives hope to his people. And so we read this again in verse 2, follow along. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, and over the number of his name, excuse me, and stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. And in verse 5, and after that I looked, and behold. In this phrase, and after that I looked, is used several times throughout the book of Revelation, and it is a linguistic tool to describe this new scene. And indeed, this is a new scene we have not heard or seen from these angels up to chapter 15. And so after this he looked, and behold, the temple, the tabernacle, the testimony in heaven was opened. Where was this temple? In heaven. A temple is properly this dwelling place of God. It was that permanent structure on earth in Jerusalem where God dwelt with his people. Remember, Solomon built the temple, the first one. This is the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven. Often that tabernacle and testimony are references back to what took place in the wilderness with Moses. It was called the tabernacle. It was like a tent. And in there was the ark of the testimony. And the books of the law were kept in that place. And as you think about God and there being this temple in heaven, and what comes out of it are these angels. And these angels having a mission. A mission to take God's law and God's authority that has been completely rebelled against upon the earth and unleash the judgment upon the earth. In God's name. Verse 6, the seven angels came out of the temple having the seven plagues. They're clothed in pure white linen. They have their breasts girded with golden girdles. These angels are described with great detail. They are beautiful. They are dressed in white. They have gold. This is, in some senses, a reference to back to the priesthood, men who had been prepared to serve God. And so we see these angels who have been serving God and now will be serving God by unleashing these plagues upon the earth. And one of the four beasts, verse 7, gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials. And notice these seven vials are full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. Full of the wrath of God. And the temple was filled with the smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. Now, we don't have exactly a time frame. How long did it take for these seven plagues to be unleashed upon the earth? I don't know that. Interesting, I don't think the Bible gives us that time frame. But it does say that this temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God. Why that detail? If we don't know the time frame, we just know that no man will be able to enter that temple for the certain amount of time. This is yet another glimpse of the glory of God. Remember how we started in Revelation after the letters in chapters 4 and 5. Remember the glory of God. Remember that description of the throne room and the brilliance of the colors, the sounds that you hear. And so we get another glimpse here of this place where God is. And it is a place of such glory and holiness that from John's perspective, it's this intense smoke that no man could penetrate. Perhaps it could be the fury of the fire of God's wrath. But nevertheless, there is great purpose here. Judgment, plagues must happen, must be unleashed. And we realize that God's judgments are coming to a close. People on the earth have been living in rebellion, worshiping the beast, and the beast is having enjoying much freedom upon the earth. People are worshiping him, and economy is in his power. But his days are numbered, and we've seen that over and over and over again. This is one of the blessings of the book of Revelation. His days are numbered. God's plan will be completed. Now, to close out our time, I'm going to read the chapter before us, 16. I'm going to read this to give us an understanding of the onslaught of these plagues. Specific descriptions of them might vary, but I believe you will get a clear glimpse of their extent. Follow along as I read, and again, the Word of God is powerful, and it will have an effect in your life, even just reading it. I believe that. Do you? Are you ever afraid to read the Word of God because of what it might say, what it might mean? Be encouraged, it is good. 16, follow along. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, "Go your ways, pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth." And the first went and poured out his vial upon the sea. Poured out his vial upon the earth. And there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast and upon them which worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man. And every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, "Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be, because you have judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink. They are worthy." And I heard another out of the altar saying, "Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments." And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom that was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, "It is done." And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give into her cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found, and there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. I could seek to wax eloquent on describing what we read there, but my seeking would be in vain, I believe. I will comment on just a few things, but I believe it is pretty evident what is taking place. You will notice that the subject of God's wrath is those upon the earth who have taken the mark of the beast and upon them which worship the beast, verse 2. God does not forget his own. He knows who are his. And he knows those who do not worship him. You will also understand and see how these plagues affect the entire earth. There are sores that are upon mankind, causing them great discomfort. There is the salt water that is turned to blood, so all life in the oceans and seas die. I have no comprehension of what that will be like. The stench. The fresh water will be turned to blood, and so therefore you are people that are lacking with water. There is a scorching heat, which we know, combined with no water, has tremendous effects. There is darkness upon the beast's kingdom. Did you catch that? Did you see that verse 10? The fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, that is where he has his authority, and his kingdom was full of darkness. This is a throwback to exactly what took place in Egypt, remember? There was darkness in Egypt, but the people of Israel had what? They had light. And it's interesting here that the kingdom of the beast is full of darkness, and these people are suffering to the degree that they are gnawing their tongues for pain. Why? Very likely, tongues are swollen for the lack of fluid, the intensity of the heat. This is horrible. But the results that take place just show the evil of man's heart, because they blaspheme God, because they blame him for their pains and for their sores, and they do not repent of their deeds. Who's responsible, ultimately, for their suffering? Do you know the answer to that question? Many are going to point at God and blame God. But is that what God's word says? It says they did not repent of whose deeds? Of their deeds. And you know what? It's easy for us to stand here with our arms crossed and say, they're bad people. Shame on them. Is that the effect that the Word of God here wants, that God wants to have on our life today? I don't believe so. Because yes, indeed, you are secure in Christ, dear ones. But there are loved ones and folks around us that you know you don't want to see go through this. You see, the book of Revelation has a tremendous evangelistic power, doesn't it? Because when you are confronted with such heaviness that the unsaved world will face, it has a power within us to propel us to proclaim. Because you know the hope. You live in the hope of which our world is in the dark. And so they are left in darkness. The Euphrates River. There is a Euphrates River, isn't there? And that's an interesting river because you see it in the Bible from beginning to end. God knows his geography. He knows right where that river is, before flood and after flood. And that river plays a significant role in the end times. Because what you see here is this river is dried up, which then allows the armies to descend upon Israel. There's a culmination coming. We will talk more about the gathering to the place of a place called Armageddon. But for our time today, make note of there's a gathering together. These evil spirits are sent out, and the nations and the kingdoms of the world gather together. Why? Because the beast is influencing and deceiving them to fight against God. It is the battle of that great day of God Almighty. And they are being gathered together. If the world truly understood God Almighty, they would not stand and fight him. Would you? With what you know about God, would you fight him? This goes to show the power of the deception of the evil one, in that he will deceive people into thinking that he has got it. He can do this. He can somehow pull this off so that the world gathers around him for this battle. But notice the name of God that's used here. Lord God Almighty. Think that's purposeful? I do. Because you as a reader are reminded what? Nobody is going to get the upper hand on my God. He is Almighty. And so you see, the seventh angel pours out his vial into the air, and from the throne you hear, "It is done." Not the same word, but boy, a similar phrase is something we've heard about 2,000 years ago from a wooden cross at Calvary, where God Almighty proclaimed what? What did he proclaim? Say it louder. "It is finished," he said. You see, God is about finishing his work. And here it's proclaimed, "It's done. It is done." And the earth experiences a tremendous earthquake like it has never experienced before. Cities are divided. Islands are gone. Mountains are flattened. And hail comes out of heaven. Some estimate as much as 100 pounds, one hailstone, falling to the earth. And what does it say? Men blasphemed God, verse 21, because of the plague of the hail. You might say, you know what? What's wrong with these people? Listen, what's wrong with these people is they are deceived. And that's what's wrong with people today. They're deceived. There is a veil over their eyes. But we have been tasked with the glorious gospel, that light. And God opens people's eyes. He's opened yours. And he's still opening people's eyes today. And he will be doing so until he says, it is done. Well, passages like this, again, are a challenge to our human minds. But I trust you realize and understand that God's plans will come to a completion. That you realize these judgments do have a central source. They come from God. I hope you realize that God knows his own. He knows his people. He knows you. And as a follower of Jesus, you do not need to be afraid. You know, God gives us these things not to cause us to be afraid, but to cause us to minister to those that are lost, who know nothing of this, who anticipate a world getting better, not worse. Are you ministering God's truth to the lost today? Do you understand the urgency? You realize that you do not know when these things will be unleashed upon the earth. You don't have God's timeline in your mind, and neither do I. We do not know the specific hour or day when all of this will be just turned on and happen in sequence. And there will be no stopping it. So today's the day. Are you praying? You're praying for the lost? It's God's work to save. But it's your work to proclaim. Embrace that role and speak for the Lord. Does your life proclaim him? Your words and your life need to match. Lord, I thank you that we can spend this time in your word, and I thank you for the comfort of knowing what your plan entails. Although, Lord, it is catastrophic, we are comforted in knowing you've got a plan and you'll see it to completion. You know your own. Lord, I ask that you'd encourage all of us, Lord, as we go from this place. It has been good to be together. And we rejoice in knowing you, Jesus, in knowing salvation through your death on the cross and the glorious resurrection. You arose, which means we will rise, Lord Jesus, someday to be with you. In Jesus' name, amen.